Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. My name is Mikey, and on today's episode, we're interviewing John Schnitzer from Haunters, The Art of the Scare, a fantastic documentary released in 2017. And if you're listening here in the UK now, it's available on Amazon Prime. Go ahead, go watch it. It really, really is awesome. It shows you a whole different viewpoints of lots of different types of haunts over in the States, whether it be home haunts, pro haunts, and even extreme stuff with McCamey Manor as well. We talk a little bit about the documentary, but also about the amazing love we both have for Halloween. And of course, this year, the type of events we're going to be doing are going to be different due to COVID. We talk a little bit about that at the end of this interview as well. So without any further ado, let's take you to the interview. It's myself interviewing John Schnitzer from Haunters, The Art of the Scare.
You're listening to
So guys, welcome back to the Scare Trap Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by John Schnitzer. John, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you as well. And it is now October, which means we can... I mean, we celebrate Halloween all year round, right?
Of course, I do.
Yeah.
You do. I follow your all your little spooky adventures, yeah.
Definitely.
Life's more interesting when it's spooky year-round.
100%. Totally agree with that. And I'll let our listeners know, they probably already know exactly who you are because we are huge fans of Haunters, The Art of the Scare. We watch it in this household quite regularly. Just because it's cool, it makes us get excited about Halloween. And I know the UK scare industry, the enthusiast community, are all big fans as well. The documentary released in 2017. But before we talk about the documentary, I want to know more about you. How did you sort of get into haunts and scares? Have you always loved them? Or was there something that just really went click one day, thought, wow, I love this sort of stuff?
I've always loved it. Look, I my birthday is in October. Mm-hmm. So I grew up always wanting to do, for my birthday, I had to do something Halloween. Cool. Always. I mean, I don't have a lot of memories from when I was 5 years old, but I remember the first time I ever went on the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. I was 5 years old, and my dad reminded me that I had to go on it over and over and over again.
Nice.
Because I loved it so much. It was so much fun. Mm. And I grew up with neighbors who would put on home haunts.
Cool.
And I loved them. Oh, great. There was this one that I'll never forget it. These kids did such a good job. And they did it not just for Halloween. They did it every weekend for the whole month of October.
Wow.
And I was like, this is incredible. It's free. There was a guy that would walk you through the different rooms, and then different things would happen. Like you'd be in one room, and it was like set up like there's a street sign and some lights, like you're outside somewhere, and it's real foggy.
Nice.
Then the lights turn off. When the lights turned off, they lowered all these spiders, these fake spiders on string, and it was all being lowered, and it covered you in spiders. And then the lights went back on, and they were gone. And I was like, they had so many cool tricks in this one little home haunt. And also growing up, there was this one kid I knew. His dad loved Halloween so much. and would put on this amazing display just for kids to go get candy. The whole front of his place was covered in decorations, and he had this body hanging from a noose, this dead body, and it was all painted him in all these different colored paints so that it would glow like a – it was just gorgeous and bizarre. Nice. And you and the all the candy was only candy that would glow. So it was pixie sticks and Starburst and Skittles. And so those black lights making all the candy glow. So as you're taking the candy, it was really cool.
Yeah.
But when you would go up to get the candy, the hanging body was – the guy whose house it was, and he would grab you.
Nice.
I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. And then when, as I grew up, I would do pranks like that to the neighborhood kids also. And but the one of the main things is in my movie Haunters, you remember the guy Donald?
Yeah.
So Donald's the guy with the dark glasses, and he does the haunt in his mother's driveway.
Yeah. And so he fills it for days and days and days, like months, and it's open for 4 hours.
That's it.
Insane.
It's only open for 4 hours. I mean, I swear, that's like, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, that's a testament to how much he loves Halloween. I mean, We love Halloween, but are we taking all of our paid time off of work and every other minute?
No, that's dedication. Creating something that is dedication.
Only open for 4 hours. It's only open for 4 hours. I love it. I love that. And Donald, I've known Donald. I first met Donald when I was in the sixth grade. I was in elementary school. I met Donald and we did the haunted house together for the other kids. So like I was new to the school and I had like the scary stories to tell in the dark book and Fangoria magazine.
Nice.
And he noticed that and was like, oh, I think we're going to be friends. And then we hung out and we did one of the rooms of the haunt. We did the last room.
Cool.
And there's a picture in the movie of me and of Donald in an army outfit. I'm the little kid next to him in the skeleton shirt with the Freddy claw. It was very DIY. There was I didn't have a Freddy costume. Freddy's not wearing a skeleton. It was very silly. But we scared kids at the end of the maze. And the idea was they walked through the end of the maze and they'd see Donald is pretending to be dead. He's an army guy and he's got fake rats on him.
Nice.
And then they see him and then they move past him. Then I would jump out pretending to be Freddy.
Cool.
With my claw, and then the rats would start squeaking, and then he would jump up and scream.
Nice.
We scared kids so bad, they broke through the cardboard walls to get away from us.
Nice.
It ended up, the whole place fell apart, and they're like, well, I guess the haunt's over. Thanks a lot, guys. We're so proud of ourselves.
I bet. Because,
you know, it was the coolest. So, you know, originally when I first thought about doing this movie was because I heard Donald had a haunted house,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing it with his family. And I thought, what the hell is he doing a haunted house with that family? It's like a crazy idea to do a haunt with his family. I knew the family.
Yeah.
Every story he's telling is a true story.
Right.
I mean, I remember the first time I went to his house when I was a kid and it wasn't October and his brother was walking down the stairs wearing a wolf mask, and I thought he was going to surprise Donald. Well, he tackled us both. He tied us up with duct tape. He starts throwing lawn darts in the air at us.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell is this? You know, this is a whole other level of insanity.
That's so an like, extreme haunt already before it's time. That.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no safe word there either. So
definitely.
That's a real problem. So, you know, years later, he's like, I got a haunt going with my family. You should come. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere near that haunt. And then my mom called me and said, you've got to go to this haunt. It's really special what he's doing. So I went and it was incredible.
Yeah.
The haunt took a dysfunctional family. I mean, this is a family where the police would come to arrest them on Mother's Day.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating. I'm just stating a fact. On Mother's Day, sometimes the police would arrest them. Okay. This is you know, they know what's going on. I mean, their door knocker said the nut house across the front of the door knocker.
Nice. Not even totally true.
So it's like they're giving you a disclaimer.
Yeah, if you're coming in just to warn you, we're all crazy.
Exactly. Then I see how the haunt worked, and I really was moved because I was like, wow, this haunt brought this family together.
Yeah.
This family that couldn't get through Mother's Day without an altercation. Now they're all working together to scare the neighbors in a fun way. And it's a huge attraction and the whole neighborhood loves it. And it was just it's a really fun thing. And I thought, wow. Then there was a haunt on the same street, just across the street. And I said, well, you must really love that guy. He must be like really close with you because that's incredible that you guys both have haunts. He's like, that guy? I've never talked to that guy. He's the competition. I don't know anything about that guy.
Wow.
I was like, what? And then I found out they've been competing, I guess. They've been across from each other.
Wow.
And then I said, oh my God, this would be the greatest movie. If it's just the two of them, this could be genius. So I start filming and I interviewed his neighbor and I interviewed him. And the one day I filmed the two sides, it was phenomenal because Donald is saying, look, I make everything. They buy everything.
Right.
Their haunt is nothing compared to mine. Then I go to the people across the street and they're like, well, look, Donald makes everything. We buy things. We're different, but we're so inspired by it. They're basically saying that they love Donald. He's a genius. He's incredible. And Donald is like, these people are the worst. They can't compete with me. He thinks that somehow it's like a wrestling match that he needs to trash talk them or something. And then the next day I go back to film and they're hanging out.
Wow. Okay.
And I was like, what's going on here? They go, well, you know what? After you interviewed us, we thought, why don't we hang out? We like the same things. So like, well, there goes that movie.
That movie's now dead in the water.
Obviously, it's not going to go anywhere. But I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to film Donald, of course. It's a really interesting story. People should hear it.
Definitely.
And I love haunts. And I go to so many of them. And I started expanding the movie out. I'm like, let me expand out and film as many haunts as I could possibly get into. Yeah. And that's when I started filming in Delusion, the interactive haunt house play. That's when I found Char, the scare actor who's been a scare actor since the 70s.
Yes.
And I just kept expanding. And then after filming for quite some time, then stumbled across McCamey Manor.
Yes.
And then the movie took a turn.
Yeah, big time.
And there's a lot of people online who go, well, this was his intention for the film all along. I was like, yeah, right. It was not. With a documentary, documentaries are tricky. A scripted movie, you tell someone what to say, tell them where to stand, you know what's going to happen when they do these things. In a documentary, you could film someone who says, yeah, go ahead and film me, and then the next day, like, I don't want to be in your movie anymore, and you're like, okay, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Or you're filming something and it doesn't go anywhere. It's tricky to you gotta follow the story.
Yeah.
And the Camey Manor story was so McCamey Manor, for the one person that's listening that has never heard of McCamey Manor. You know, McCamey Manor, this guy Russ McCamey has this extreme haunt that's at his house that is completely insane. It goes on for hours and hours and hours. Doesn't let you out even if you want to get out. He only lets you out if he feels like he's completely broken you as a human being.
Totally destroyed you.
Totally destroyed you. He films it and puts it all on his YouTube channel, and his videos get billions of views.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw his videos and I thought, this can't be real.
Yeah.
This can't be real. You know, as horror fans, we're used to being lied to as part of like marketing tactics.
Of course. Yeah. Any new haunt you're going to go to is going to be the scariest thing you've ever done. It's of all time. You've never been this scared before. Prepare for death. Yeah, but this is true with most.
Your nightmares have come to life. You won't be for the rest of your life. You're gonna lose your mind. It's like, okay, it never does that. I hear what you're doing. You're just trying to get me interested
And buy a ticket. Well, but it works.
He keeps saying you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. It's gonna be, and people are screaming, and I'm like, okay, come on. And then it turns out it's just as bad or worse.
Yeah.
Worse than what they're advertising. And I just thought it was absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
And it's also fascinating to show people like Donald and his home hunt, like Char, who's an incredible scare actor, mm-hmm. who really cares. She's in the movie, she says that she talks about the connection between the monster and the human.
Definitely, yeah.
Like she feels a connection just before, you know, it's the same thing we all feel just before about to scare somebody. Yeah. The nervous energy, the excitement. No one knows what's going to happen when this happens next. It's like it's pulling the pin on an emotional grenade. It's really fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And for scare actors, they're doing it like every 30 seconds for hours. So, you know, it was great to have that. But when you have those stories plus an overall look in a history of this multi-billion dollar industry, and then you bring in Russ McCamey, McCamey Manor, and see what happens when someone crosses the line and goes too far. When you see someone going too far, it puts into context people like Donald and Char and everybody else, and you go, people who don't even like haunts, after seeing Haunters, were telling me, I went to Universal for my first time after watching your movie. I went to Knott's for the first time. I went to like the all the different home haunts for the first time ever after watching your movie, because I understand that these people are doing it the right way and it's fun. It's like a whole escape.
Yeah, yeah.
And they totally they were able to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy it. But sometimes you have to see someone going too far to highlight. You know, when you use darkness, it can highlight the light,
yes.
You know, it's every great horror film does anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, it's something I wanted to mention, the fact that you didn't just do the I don't want to call them boo haunts, that's what Rush calls them, but you know what I mean, the haunted houses, the pro haunts. You also covered the home haunts as well, which we don't really have many of here in the UK. Like, you know, home haunting here in the UK is it's very, very rare. We have a handful on this tiny island, but it's very, you know, trick or treating even is a dying trend here in the UK for some reason. But
where's the handful of haunts, the home haunts?
You know what? On the top of my head, I can only actually think of one, and it doesn't go on anymore because they've become a pro haunt. A team called Primrose Unknown Project, PUP, they used to create sort of charity haunts in their hometown that they're in Northern England. But yeah, since then they've become pro haunters, and they've actually created Cracked, which is the UK's most extreme haunt here, and they've done lots of amazing immersive theatre stuff as well. So they've become quite pro haunts. But yeah, I actually couldn't, without doing a little bit of research, name any other home haunts in the UK. Whereas pro haunts, every year there's five more. The next year there'll be five more. Next year there'll be five more. They're growing at a rapid pace. But yeah, what I was trying to mention, in the fact that you mentioned Russ McCamey, is that you have covered that extreme side of haunts as well in the US. And I loved how you got other haunters' opinion on it, and how they were like, they really looked down on him. Like, it's not a haunt. He can't call himself a haunter. We don't like that sort of thing. Was that quite cool to sort of, you know, this whole thing has happened naturally. Like you say, it started with your friend and his neighbor, and it's just sort of gradually, organically grown into this masterpiece of a documentary. I love it. Was it crazy to see that these people kind of hated on Russ a little bit?
No, it wasn't crazy at all. It was like, it seemed like I totally understood their point of view because, you know, I understand their fears.
Mm-hmm.
Their fear is that, you know, this guy's doing really crazy things. If someone gets hurt at his haunt,
of course.
Then they're going to say every haunt is bad and they're going to go down that path. Meanwhile, this guy was featured on many TV shows.
Yeah.
Like the Travel Channel's Halloween.
He was on Dark Tourist.
Haunts
and stuff.
Like,
yeah.
And for years, even before that, he was on just so many other shows, and he was not just shows, Halloween conventions and haunt conventions that are designed purely for the haunted attraction industry. He would be on panels and he would be talking from there. And because a lot of people, it was always a mix. People were like, some people really loved that he was out there doing crazy stuff. But a lot of other people are like, yeah, but you have to have a safe word. You have to, you know,
you have to be legal, or you have to have risk assessments and stuff.
The haunt industry, though, like once people, they started doing haunts, were like, okay, now there's going to be haunts where people get touched. There were a lot of, most of the industry was like, no, you can't do that. People are going to get hurt. It's not right. Then it went from that to, okay, they're going to be extreme haunts. We're going to start really pushing things. You're going to get shocked and you're going to get all these different things. Well, there's a lot of people who didn't like that, but then there was a lot of people who do love it.
Yeah.
The thing about the haunt attraction industry that's so interesting to me is it's now like horror. Like horror films have like a thousand subgenres. Yes, everything from supernatural to torture porn to everything else in between. There's just a million different kinds of stuff. And now there's a haunt that represents every single subgenre of horror. In a, from the stuff that we love to the stuff that's that is wildly offensive to most fans.
Yes, big time.
A small audience loves and a much larger audience loves to hate. And that's fascinating. It's really interesting.
Big time.
And the more, and look, I kept seeing people compare Blackout and McCamey Manor like they were similar, and they would even be, end up on a lot of the same lists. And so I was like, look, I really want to interview Blackout about this, and I wanted to get to know how Blackout does things.
Yeah.
And it's a great part in the movie where we go back and forth between Blackout and McCamey Manor. And it was really interesting because when you hear about Blackout, it's like, oh, look, it's insane. You go in by yourself. It's creepy. It's torture. It's, you know, people go crazy describing how horrific it is.
Yeah.
But then you actually talk to them and they go, okay, number one, they have a safe word.
yeah, that helps.
Exactly. They have a safe word. And number two, they even talk about the exact ways that they train their actors to touch people. Like they're being very specific with the, how it all works. And it's really interesting to hear their whole story. Yeah. And then when you hear their perspective versus see Russ's perspective, what does Russ do? Russ has no safe word. When Russ is, I had the great the circle where Russ is talking to his new actors, his new, the new people are going to work at McCamey Manor.
Yeah.
And you see what he's telling them. I want you to pick him up and body slam him to the ground. I want you to throw up, pick up the throw up and shove it back in their face. And you're like, okay, so he's not saying, okay, well, here's how to be careful. Here's how to make something look dangerous that isn't dangerous. He's like riling people up to go as insane as they possibly will go. And it's fun to show the difference, to show the contrast. So people go, oh, there is a responsible way of doing extreme haunting. There is a responsible way to push the envelope and scare the hell out of people, you know, but do it in a way where they can have a safe word, where they're not going to actually be injured, where we can have the illusion of danger, but not actual danger, you know? And I think it's important to be able to show that. There's a lot of haunts now that have been reaching out to me that tell me they actually show my film to their scare actors before their haunt season to show them the right way and the wrong way. They ask the scare actors what they thought of what was going on in McKinney Manor, what they thought of what's going on at Blackout. They ask the questions, and they have a very good gauge when people are talking as to who might, this might not be right for, and who is going to do a really good job. And it's you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's
definitely.
I didn't make an instructional video,
but it turned out that way as well.
Yeah, even for some haunts.
Yeah.
But the main thing I wanted was, look, I want to make sure you have the same experience you're going to have when you're watching a movie. I want you to laugh out loud. I want you to be completely freaked out. When I'm watching a movie, if I don't look away at least once, it's kind of a failure. I want to look away at least once. Like, no, I can't look at that. You know, and I want to feel like I was fully submerged in a subculture. And that's the cool thing about the movie is that I really feel like I took the time to make sure we got into the subculture so you understood the thoughts and feelings. I mean, I was definitely. I get tagged in the different haunt groups all the time, and someone just posted, "Hey, I just saw this movie Haunters. I thought it was really good. What did you think?" They go, "Oh, I hate it." So, I mean, they made it like it's a commercial for McCamey Manor, and they made it look like he's the top haunter in our community. I'm like, okay, yeah. How many times in the movie did somebody say, "I hate this guy. I hate his haunt. I don't."
I was gonna say, yeah.
Every other person said that.
Yes,
and it can't be a commercial. A commercial will make you want to do something. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of people took their name off of his wait list after my movie came out.
Really?
Of course. Yes. Wow. Yes. My God. So many people would message and people would talk to us and people were, you know, showing that they were taking their names off the list. And because they got the full detail, they didn't know
what's actually happening. Yeah.
Yeah, they also didn't know that Russ didn't go through his own experience. They didn't know that he never went through McKean Manor. So if he's not willing to go through it, how does he know what you're willing, what you can take and what mm-hmm. you can't take? Definitely. I mean, he has no idea. And there was a lot of things that came out, especially who works there.
Well, yeah, that was the scary part when I was watching it, because he from what I could gather, he sort of got people who had been through it before. The crazy people who like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to love it, and now I can't wait to F some other people up. It's kind of just what it was.
Well, you think of it this way. It's interesting because when his haunt started, he was using neighborhood kids to do everything. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood kids were really unleashing hell because, you know, he's the adult supervision. This is the adult. That's minding the kids, saying go crazy on them.
Going crazy and body slam people.
Yeah, and the kids are going nuts. They're doing crazy things. And they had to get rid of the kids because there was someone that was there that was giving alcohol and drugs to the kids and being really inappropriate, according to Russ. And and so what did he do to replace them? He put in some guys that were a couple of some guys that had done prison time for assaulting a police officer.
Wow.
Who used to be, according to Russ, they used to be neo-Nazis. They used to be skinheads.
You couldn't write this, could you?
No, I'm just like, and he's saying that this is the acceptable new people that we're bringing in. They're going to do a real good job. Like someone who's been arrested on assault charges is going to come in and now be your full contact. Want to put out there were some people who worked there that were incredibly nice.
Yeah.
And really professional and really good people. Look, there's always going to be some that you're going to be like, wow, what a nice person. What's drawing them into this?
Yeah.
But the thing is, how they get brought in to do it by having been pushed too far and then they want to do it to somebody else. That describes every fraternity and sorority in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, if we haze you for 1 year, you get to torture other people for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the hell? I've never wanted to do that. I've never joined a fraternity.
I mean, to us here in the UK, it's kind of it's very foreign anyway. You know, we see it in movies and stuff, and
yeah, it's an American thing. It's an American thing.
Very much so. But obviously, we understand it because of the culture. We watch a lot of American movies and American culture. But yeah, it's exactly that. It's like a sorority or a fraternity, which is just a bit batshit crazy.
People get killed doing that all the time.
It's madness. And
the big difference is that happens at a prestigious university. This is happening in some guy's backyard.
Yeah.
But it's. I'm not saying it to justify what he's doing. I'm just trying to put it into context that, like, okay, it's not new that the idea of the cycle of violence and how it starts and how it continues and how it perpetuates, you know? So, but it was really a trip to watch it happen. Like, I knew I was done filming there once I got that interview with that one woman who said, I really want to come back here and work here. And I said, why? And she said, because I want to hurt. And then she stopped herself. And everyone laughed. She said, because I want to make other people feel the way I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, that explains it. It's, you know, a really disturbing explanation, but it's a disturbing explanation about people in our, and
yeah,
what happens when someone makes you feel, someone hurts you.
Yes.
And you don't want to feel powerless, and you want other people to feel how you're feeling so that you could feel strong. That's mm-hmm. a very scary message. But it also shows, obviously, McCamey Manor went too far. That shows mm-hmm. it in a nutshell. Because,
big time.
No, look, Stephen King, Wes Craven, we're talking about some of the nicest guys ever. These are nice people. You know, they're just able to give us these horrific, scary scenarios as these awesome releases
mm-hmm.
and to get us excited. That's a very different thing than pushing you too far. And then once they pushed you too far, you're like, well, I'm not going to be the weakling. I'm going to do it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating to capture that for me.
Big time. I bet. Yeah. The fact that you're there as well, like being able to, you know, basically be the fly on the wall throughout this. I want to say I'm surprised he was so happy for you to see absolutely everything, but it seems like the guy has no shame in that sort of way. He's sort of like quite proud of what his haunt has done over the years, isn't he?
He's been calling himself the Donald Trump of haunting.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a nutshell. That kind of sums it up right there.
Big time. You know. See, I know a couple of people who have gone through McCamey Manor, and they said it was the worst experience of their life. Like you were saying, like it's sort of it backs up what you're saying. The fact that when people go through it, they want to potentially make people feel like that anyway. The people who I know have gone through it, although they haven't done anything quite on the scale of a McCamey Manor, but they are part of the creators of Cracked, the survival experience here in the UK.
Is it James and Rosie?
They're James and Rosie, yeah. Yeah. And they're the two of the nicest people you've ever met.
They were so sweet. They were really nice. They were there on their part of their honeymoon.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was there. I filmed them. They were in the movie for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was... Well, that was crazy.
Yeah, was... to think about it. Yeah, it's mad. And then when they come back, they said that it was horrible, it was vile, and you know, they've told me a few things whilst not recording as well, which I won't divulge. But it's crazy to think that they've now created something here in the UK with Lee and Sarah with Faceless Ventures creating Cracked. But again, it's similar to the to Blackout, or that they've worked right. with the Heretic guys. They're very smart with what they do. They're very safe. There's a safe word. They do everything properly. There's risk assessments. There's all these safety protocols. So I've experienced Cracked myself, and although it was horrible in all the right ways, I always felt safe. I knew that if I'd go over to McCamey Manor, there's a good chance I'm going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, no, I mean, Cracked, it was funny when I first started seeing images from it. I was like, oh my God, this looks a lot like McCamey Manor.
Yeah.
But then I definitely know people who've done both.
Yes.
I know Christina did both.
Yeah, Christina,
She absolutely loved Cracked, but she did, I think she did McCamey Manor like 3 times.
I think so, yeah. Crazy, crazy girl, bless her.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe she did that 3 times. But yeah, she really had fun at Cracked, and it looked really, it looked completely insane. Mm-hmm. It definitely looks like something I would never do.
Well, but, that was my next question. Would you I mean, I know you love Halloween. You've loved it since you were 5 years old going to Disneyland. Would you do any of these extreme haunts?
I've done some of them. I mean, I definitely... There's one I really love doing called The 17th Door.
I've heard of that, yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, look, they always cross a line. There's always at least one or two things every year in their haunt that I'm like, you've gone too far. But, you know, they have a safe word. And if I want to use it, Mm-hmm. I can use the safe word and then skip to the next room. That's different from blackout, where if you use the safe word, then it's finished.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that if you use a safe word, then you can continue because maybe cockroaches aren't your thing. So it's not going to be fun for you. But the next room might be like the most fun thing ever. And they really push the limits. They do some stuff that I've never seen done in any other haunts. They do, there was a bit where I was locked in a box and the box went backwards and then the bottom of the box opened up and I fell all the way down into a giant ball. Or they had a virtual reality thing where the virtual reality was like on purpose it was bad.
Okay.
And you see a guy saying, "Hello and welcome to your virtual reality experience." And then he takes out a cattle prod and he goes, "I hope you enjoy the ride." And then he puts it on your arm and then you get an electric shock on your arm.
Wow.
And you're like, "What?" And then you're on this wheelchair and it starts moving. And then other people are chasing after you. And as they're grabbing you and doing things to you, you feel everything that you see. That was the very, very, very beginning of the haunt.
Wow.
Once that's over, then you go through the first door. And it was like unbelievable. I mean, look, it's fun. It's creative.
Yeah.
If you have a trigger, they will find it. They're going to trigger you. It's going to be shocking and funny and weird. And you leave like laughing and shaking your head. You can't believe what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, but I blackout's not for me just cause I know it's not for me. I'm not looking for blackout. You know, it's not something I'm into, but there's definitely a lot of people I know who've done blackout so many times that they have blackout tattoos. I mean, they love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It creates some sort of, I don't know if the word cult is fair, but a sort of cult like scenario or group where you mentioned tattoos. Cracked has so many participants of Cracked have tattoos of either Blake, the main character, or the Cracked logo. Loads of them.
That makes sense. I mean, look, you think about it. It's like, you went through an experience
mm-hmm.
that most people would never do, and the ones who want to do it haven't been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a part of some kind of
elite club,
cult, kind of. And it's really, and it's also, wow, maybe you discovered. I mean, there's no way of going through one of these things without learning something about yourself.
Definitely.
Discovering something that you were afraid of, or discovering that you maybe are stronger than your worst fears. Maybe you've, you know, it's kind of a trip. Like every time I interviewed people at Extreme Haunts, I'm like, "Why are you here?" And they say, "I want to learn something about myself." I'm like, what are you hoping to learn? And they're like, mostly would say, "I don't know." Like they really are there. You're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to unlock something.
Yeah.
And as long as you have a safe word, then it's healthy because then you can always stop at any moment.
Definitely.
You know, I filmed a scare study. It's not in the movie. Not in the movie because the scare study didn't finish until years after the movie was finished.
Right.
But I did film it and it was really interesting because the things that they were discovering was if somebody uses the safe word while they're in the middle of an extreme haunt, they don't feel ashamed. They don't feel bad. They actually get a rush of adrenaline for using the safe word because they're in control. And most people who use a safe word will go back to see if they can make it past that point, see if they can get it to the end. So it's kind of, that's fascinating. That's really cool. And I don't know, the more we learn about fear and what it's like for us to face our worst fears and to challenge ourselves.
Definitely.
I mean, it's always a rush, you know?
Yes.
I mean, delusion, it's in the movie for 2 minutes. It's, you know, it's fantastic though. It's an interactive haunted house play,
mm-hmm.
Delusion. So it's like a choose your own adventure, but with like amazing stunts and special effects.
Yeah.
And John Braver, who's a professional stuntman, wrote it, directed it, put it on. And what they did was he rented out an old mansion. And then you went into the mansion and you find out that you are people that used to be patients in this asylum.
Nice.
and you're returning back, and everyone that's in there has some kind of magical power, and you have to look for things. And different times, you're looking for a key, you're looking for whatever. So you split up, and when you go into one room and I go into another room, we both experience a different part of the story.
Nice.
And it's suspenseful and it's scary and it's fun. But when the whole thing's over and you all get together to compare what happened to each other, all of a sudden you get chills and goosebumps because you're like, oh my God, this is like telling a ghost story, but one that you just experienced.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's amazing. Every year they did a different theme. They chose different locations. So they used an old abandoned church one year. That was
wow.
And it's actually, there's more of that plus the other locations on the bonus features for Haunters.
Perfect.
Because all the stuff I couldn't fit in, there's so much I couldn't fit in. I have like 30 minutes of bonus features where you get to spend more time with Haunted Overload, the haunt that has the 4-story tall skull.
Yeah.
Delusion, the LA Haunted Hayride, which is always incredibly fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Universal, the guy, the head haunter of Universal Studios, and you get to see pictures of his first home haunt he made in the 70s, Wars haunted house that he made in the 70s. And he made all the costumes. Really cool. If you get it like on, if you get the DVD or the Blu-ray, or if you get the on iTunes, they have like iTunes extras.
Oh, okay. So perfect.
It's either way you get it. It's 30 minutes where you can totally, it's so much so much fun Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
That we couldn't even fit in there. But yeah, there's, I don't know. I love all the different kinds of haunts that are out there because it's just, it's exciting. It's exciting to know there's ones that I can't wait to go to again. And there's ones I know I will never go to, but I love that those exist.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's almost like a real life boogeyman. It's like a real life. There's a real life Michael Myers out there who I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that. That they've gone too far. It sounds like someone talking in a scary movie.
So, yeah.
What's not to like about that idea? But I do think every haunt needs to have a way out, a safe way out,
yes.
You know, a safe word, because there's got to be.
You've got to have that element of you're in control still, even though you're going to go into a dark room, you're going to have actors, you're going to have lights. You don't know what's going to happen, whether it's in, on a haunted hayride, in a pro haunt, a home haunt, or an extreme haunt. You don't know what's going to happen, but at any point you need to be able to press that emergency stop button in your head. So you're in control. I think that's the main thing, isn't it? That although you don't know what's going on and things are going to happen, at any point you're still in control.
Yeah, and honestly, we all know we don't want to stop it. We want to see how far we can go. But having the ability to stop it, it makes you less – it helps you actually get more scared. Because when you're relaxed, you get more afraid. When you're really tense, it's harder to actually get someone to scream.
True.
If you're just walking around with your fist balled up, then you're more likely to have a fight reaction than you are actually getting scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's why horror films have a joke make you laugh and then do a scare.
Yes.
You know, because they need to get your guard down. So it helps. It actually helps when someone says they don't want to have a safe word because it won't be as scary. It's like, no, that's not true.
Yeah. The fact that there is a safe word for me, I mean, the first extreme attraction I did was probably back in 2012. And this is probably the first extreme style attraction we had here in the UK, something called Project Fear. It's really cool. It was only on a couple of nights, but it was like only a 20 minute long, but a real life scenario thing. So, you're told to snort drugs by a drug dealer, or you were tortured in inverted commas by an SAS guy. And for the UK, it was like, wow, like we've never had anything where anyone touched you before. Never mind this sort of stuff where I'm in stress positions or I'm on the bed and there's a naked woman riding me and then her naked husband comes in with a baseball bat. You know, it was insane. It was cool. It was a really good attraction, to be fair. But
is that still around?
It was literally for two nights 8 years ago, and it's never come back.
What about the people who worked on it? Do they still do stuff?
They haven't the last 3 years, unfortunately. G&G Entertainment, they put on some really good stuff. Again, they put on some independent haunts in things like castles or random warehouses. They did loads of different types of stuff, but they actually created that attraction out of sort of anger for all the other UK haunts going, this is the, like you said, we said earlier, everyone was saying, this is the most extreme thing you're ever going to do. And they were right. Like, it's not. It's really not. It was good, but it's not. This is the most extreme thing. And then it sort of snowballed.
This was their answer.
Sorry?
This was their answer.
Yeah,
this
that was like, their yeah, answer. Yeah.
That's extreme. Here we go.
Definitely, definitely. And that sort of then snowballed. Like I say, that was 2012. And then in 2013, we had a, I don't know if you've ever heard of, it's called Psychomantium. That's
great. I'm hearing about all the ones I haven't heard about.
That's a great one. We're actually going this Friday to the press night. It's in Scare Kingdom in Northern England. And it's basically a you go in alone. It's only ever about 7 minutes, so it's a very short, impactful, extreme style haunt, mega quick. But it's like a psychosexual clinic, and you sign a waiver, obviously, and you have the safe word. But in the waiver, it's like whatever happens, it's between you and the doctor. You don't tell anyone. So whenever we've done a podcast episode, we've actually never told anyone that what happens in there, because they need to experience it for themselves. But let's just say lots of nudity, lots of fingers going up fake bums, a few eating challenges in the later years.
So it's kind of like a blackout.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, kind of. Which is
great.
Yeah, definitely. It got like, you know, mainstream media, the Sun newspaper, which is like one of the biggest biggest piles of crap, but it's one of the biggest newspapers here in the UK. They dubbed it the UK's sickest attraction. It had people trying to close it down. It had so much hate, which of course is the best PR stunt you could ever pull. But yeah, so it's really cool to, I mean, I'm jealous that, you know, you're thousands of miles away and all these amazing haunts are so far away, but here in the UK, I think over the last few years at least, we're starting to get on that extreme / sick and twisted sort of ghost train, really.
That's really cool. I mean, look, it's fun. I mean, to just watch it all grow so much. I remember out here in the 80s, there weren't that many. And then in the 90s, that's like, I still have my program from the first year Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights ever happened in Los Angeles. And because I was in a freshman in high school, and it was so great. They had like Chucky was doing insult comedy, which all that meant was as you would walk by, Chucky would say something very rude to you.
That's nice.
Either really funny or really offensive. And Penn and Teller did a magic show. Yes. And the tram ride was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre theme, which was really fun. But then, you know, from there it grew and grew and grew into this amazing event. And, you know, I'm lucky that I grew up in Southern California where we had Not Scary Farm and Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights and Six Flags Fright Fest. And all the independent haunts and all of the home haunts. It's just, there's so many. It's incredible. It's amazing. But wherever you go, you find some other haunt, like a Haunted Overload, which is in New Hampshire. You know, they did their haunt in an apple orchard. And so because they're in an apple orchard, everything's outdoors, they have space. So they build their props and sets. Some of them are four stories tall and everything's painted with black light paint. They have black light projectors everywhere. It all glows. And you're like, you ever see those, like those little miniature Halloween towns that you can collect? Those little collectibles.
Oh yeah. 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 Nice.
They're big out here. It's like you're inside that. It's like you're inside an actual, Tim Burton movie.
Nice.
Where it's like, you're just surrounded by, like, it's just so much eye candy all around. And that's an independent haunt.
Yeah.
You know, and in the bonus features, you get to see what his home haunt was like, mm-hmm. his home haunt, he would actually get the phone company. He'd hire the phone company to put in telephone poles on his front yard. And then he would build monsters that would cover the entire length of the pole. So it would be like a giant monster looming over his house.
Wow.
That's what his home haunt was.
That's
and then from
insane.
There, he just went big. Big. Oh, incredible what that guy did. I mean, there's so many really wild ones. It's in Blackout, there's more about the exact origin story of Blackout. Because I was surprised. I didn't realize that they were off-Broadway theater directors.
Yeah,
they had their own theater company where they were doing Chekhov and Shakespeare.
Wow.
But no one was not a lot of people were going.
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
they needed to make some money. So they decided in the summertime to make a haunted house. And then they just came up with whatever, you know, they have no money. So there's no sets. Okay, mm-hmm. It's all in complete darkness. Okay, good. We're going to make everyone, the actors, we can't afford costumes. They're going to be naked. The actors will be naked. And they just kept making the list. Basically, they had nothing. And what could they create from it? And then when they showed up to the opening of their experience, they had a line around the block of people who wanted to go.
It's
fascinating. It's like whenever you think about your limitations, limitations can always be used to create something that feels limitless. I mean, it's like the movie Host on Shudder, right? Have you seen Host?
No, I've not seen it. No, I think the wife has. She's addicted to Shudder, but no, I haven't seen it.
I love it. I think it's absolutely incredible. It's one of those computer screen movies. You know, you've seen them like with Unfriended.
Oh, yeah.
They're usually really fun. They have good ideas in them. There's a really great one called Searching that was a thriller from a couple of years ago. That was fantastic. Host takes place with six friends on a Zoom call conducting a seance.
Oh, nice.
I watched it at midnight, turned off the lights, watched it on my laptop because it's all in a Zoom setting anyway. And I plugged in headphones. Scared the hell out of me.
You're a braver guy than me.
Look, it was so scary. And it's only 56 minutes.
Okay.
But it's fantastic. It's exactly the right length that it needs to be. It's not long enough where you get used to anything. And the scares are really well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. The characters are great. Everyone who's in it is their actual real first and last name.
Okay.
Most of them are all friends in real life. And the director was basically saying, oh, yeah, you know, for the first 2 months of the pandemic, everyone was saying, oh, someone's going to make a Zoom horror film. And then he's like, well, 2 months after that, no one had. So he's like, I should just do it.
Yeah.
And he got his friends together. They all did it in their own homes. So he's filming them all in their own homes. They're all filming themselves. And it works so well. It's so creative. It's so scary. It's a tight little budget. Think about how fast they turned that around, too.
Yeah, big time.
They did it so quickly, and it's funny. It's scary. It's emotional. And they even talk about COVID in the movie. And they talk about it with conversations you and your friends have had.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just feels like it's the perfect thing to watch right now. And it's like, oh, my God, they didn't have millions of dollars. They didn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. They used what they had available to them to create something really magical. That's what most haunters are doing.
Definitely.
They're using whatever they can to make something magical, make an experience.
Yeah.
Christmas,
and then just build.
Drive by. Yes, yeah, and build from there. But like Christmas, you're just driving by the outside of people's homes that are decorated. They don't invite you in. You're looking at the outside. You know, the Halloween has always been very much like, we've created something for you. Come inside.
Come,
we're
going to
entertain.
Out.
Exactly. So this time around, now that we really can't really do that as much out here, it's been interesting to see all the different solutions people have been coming up with, like the kind of drive-through experiences.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to finish on, really, is that it is this year. Like it's going to be very different to any other year. And you mentioned yourself, drive by experiences, and we've got a few popping up here in the UK. So, yeah, you visiting any of those this season?
I have. I mean, it was a couple of years ago was the first time I was hearing about the driving ones, because there was a haunted car wash that I heard about a couple of years ago. Okay. And I saw the pictures that were great. They actually had like everything was glowing in the dark, and they had like clowns coming after you. But then when the thing's over, you got a clean car too.
Winner.
And Japan started off this summer, because in Japan in the summertime, it's nice and cool. So they like to do haunts then. Some genius in Japan came up with the idea of doing a one where you get in a car and you drive and you park inside of a garage. They close the garage. Then you hear the story about what happened inside this garage.
Okay.
And then creepy things start happening to you. Well, you're in the car, the windows are rolled up. And if you pay extra, they leave bloody handprints all over your car, which is kind of funny.
Nice.
I love that idea. And out here, they've been doing a lot of different things. Like tomorrow night, I'm going to go to one where it's just thousands and thousands of jack-o'-lanterns that artists have made.
Okay.
And it's going to take 25 minutes to drive through, and you're surrounded by just all of these different jack-o'-lanterns. Some are going to be created to make monsters. Some of them are, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, you're going to be in your car and you're going to slowly drive by and see the whole thing. I'm really excited about that one, because it's like, you know, it's going to be really fun. Rotten Apple 907, the home haunt that's at the opening of my movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones where they did an Alice in Wonderland haunt.
Yes. Where he was the Queen of Hearts.
You have seen Haunters a lot. There you go. That's right. So that family, the Rotten Apple 907, they're doing their haunt, but instead of doing the haunt where you go inside, they're doing a massive display and with scare actors outside. They want you to drive your car by slowly and look at the scary scene they're setting up in their front yard. Someone else already did this a few weeks ago called Murder House Productions. It's another home haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a giant Halloween cemetery at the outside of their house.
Nice.
I was just at the LA Haunted Hayrides latest attraction, which we drove our car through, and as you're driving through, all of these scary scenes are set up, like a giant ship with glowing, you know, sea monsters, tentacles wrapped around it, or, you know, radio stations and stuff. And then you park at an outdoor drive-in movie theater, and they show scary short films while they have scare actors wandering around and scaring the people in their own cars.
Nice. Yeah, we've got something like that popping up in down south as well, actually. It's literally just got an invite tonight, like a drive-through cinema, but with scary people, basically.
It's fun. I mean, look.
Yeah.
One thing I'm looking at, I'm not measuring at the same bar that I measure haunts any other time of the year.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm looking at it as like, wow, we are in this insane, unprecedented global pandemic right now, and these people who are entertaining us are dealing with the same pressures and the same fears and the same anxiety that we're dealing with, and they are trying to find the safest way to be really creative, try something. Mm-hmm. It's a real experiment to try something that's going to be safe and scary and fun. So I really appreciate anyone who's doing them, because wow, they're taking a huge risk even putting this on. And I don't know, I'm just really excited and for people that are trying to be innovative and creative and help us have some kind of escape for a little while.
It's
different from just, you know, being at home.
Definitely. I mean, we love Halloween. We love it at Halloween, and we love to try and celebrate scares and haunts all year round. But we're probably very similar in the fact that we're counting down the months so we can plan out our October. I mean, I plan it out usually in August, and this year I've been trying to plan, and then that event is cancelled, and then that event is cancelled. Yep. And I was chatting to Spencer Terry from Fear Factory SLC, a couple months ago now, and they're creating a whole COVID contingency plan, and I shared that with all the UK haunts, and they were like, great, perfect, and they put loads of things in place, and it was all seeming quite confident and positive, and you know, it seemed all good. And then even the ones who were definitely dead set certain that they are opening in a COVID world, each day they're cancelling. So
same thing happened out here. It's out here too.
It's scary, isn't it? It's horrible, but it's just all the more kudos to the ones that can put something on in this crazy, crazy weird world right now.
It just needs to be different. That's all. We got to do something different. We can't. You can't put people in a situation that's going to be dangerous. I mean, that's crazy. Exactly. The whole point of a haunted house is for the illusion of danger, not actual danger. So I like the idea of doing stuff in the car because I'm in my own car.
Yeah, of course.
I roll up the windows if I want to, you know, but it's, you know, you can be safe from, you know, COVID and at the same time have something creative and exciting to look, you know, to experience.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. So I think there's going to be a lot more displays. I've also been seeing a lot of people coming up with creative techniques of how to deal with trick-or-treaters. Right. That's hilarious. Yeah. I've been posting some of the Haunters page. There was a this one guy created this it looks like a skeleton ghost thing, and the hands both have candy, and then the back is a beer koozie holder, and it's holding two cold beers. And then he's on his porch. He has this remote control thing where it's flying across like a string all the way to the kids. Nice. And the kids get the candy and the parents take the beer, and then it goes back in reverse back to him. And he's just sending it back and forth.
Winner.
I love it. I love when people do that. I love there's people that are just making like slides for candy. So they just, they're at the top of the staircase, they put the candy down, it goes down a tube or a chute or a slide and goes right. You know, so they're coming up with creative stuff so kids get to have something fun without being in risk.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and that's what I guess haunters have always had to do. They've had to entertain us and scare us, but never put us in any harm or at any risk. And you know, they've done that in new ways, elaborate ways as time's gone on. And this year's just been that year that's even more testing and difficult. And you've got to say hats off to the ones that come up with these ideas and elaborate themes and elaborate schemes to give us something that we all love.
Have you seen heard about the Stranger Things drive-up experience?
No, I haven't.
So they announced it, and it's already sold out all the way up into February. So now it's going to go on for months and months and months. It's October, November. I think it's going all the way to March now.
Okay.
Basically, you're driving through like the Star Court Mall, apparently. Like they built all these sets. And you drive through, and then apparently you're supposed to park your car, and then a whole scene with actors and special effects and everything's going to happen all around you, and then you go to the next one. That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that people are getting creative, and they're finding new fun, immersive ways to get us involved and freaked out. And there's other people that they're doing stuff where you can do it at home also. Darren Lynn Bousman, who did the Tension Experience.
Yes.
And you know, he also directed the majority of the Saw movies. Right. So he has a new one. Now I'm forgetting the name of it, but if you look up Darren Lynn Bousman, it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. And you can do it from your home. And it's stuff that you do over the computer, over your phone, over Zoom. I love all the different creative ways people are trying to figure out how to interact with people.
Yes, yeah, make definitely.
Different types of immersive storytelling.
Yeah, definitely. Here in the UK, we one of the first sort of casualties of COVID with closing and lockdowns was escape rooms. Like even before we had any restrictions, people just stopped buying tickets overnight for escape rooms. And within a week, we had online escape rooms, or just new experiences that you could control someone within the escape room, or you'd have a whole new escape game from certain companies. You'd buy it and you could do it with your friends. You know, me and you could do one over Zoom, and again, that's something that I think we can, with these drive-through experiences popping up. Out of COVID and how bad and crappy it's been, I just think moving forwards, we've now just got new, we were talking about earlier, like subgenres of horror movies, and there's subgenres of haunts. We've just got more to add to our arsenal now, I think.
Oh, have you heard of Night Terrors? The app?
Oh, it's, I've heard of it.
I think it's only like $1. It's I believe that's the one that the guy who created Paranormal Activity created this app. And I believe it's the same one. And basically, you get the app, and then you have to turn off all the lights in your home. And then you use your cell phone, and you put the light on your cell phone. And then you start walking through your house, and you're trying to find this ghost who needs your help. But there's other ghosts and demons that are in your house.
That's terrifying.
And the app is using your phone against you. So basically, you'll see a creature like peep its head from around one of your doors.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying. I don't think it's available in the UK yet, actually. I might be wrong, and our listeners might be shouting now, but I'm looking on my app, so I don't think we've got it.
I'll take a look and see if I can find it over there. I love it. I love it. They even filmed, when they made it, they filmed all the ghosts and demons with actual models, like puppets, kind of like what they did with Poltergeist. So the idea is, it doesn't look CG. It looks like there's an actual creature there.
yeah. That's, I'd definitely be playing with my wife on that one, because what people listening to this podcast that are regular listeners actually realize that I'm the biggest wimp in the world when it comes to horror films, and my wife scares me all the time, and I hate it, because it's weird, because it's my own home. I feel like it's my safe place, like, why, I don't want to be scared here, whereas if I pay money and go into a haunt, I want to be scared, because I know within those four walls that's what's going to happen. I'm a big wuss, so that, I really want to get that app if I can get it, but I'll be holding my wife's hand, definitely.
Another question for you also. I saw that you'd posted months ago at the beginning of the pandemic about that Bram Stoker's Dracula haunted house that you guys were going to. And you know which one? The Dracula haunt that said that it was going to be open during pandemic? I was wondering if you ever went to that. I was just excited there was a Bram Stoker's Dracula haunt, because that movie is so much fun.
Definitely. I'm trying to go back on my Instagram feed now, but the only haunt we were able to do was, I don't know if you ever heard of Passage del Terra. They've had one in Blackpool for 22 years now. It was like the original, one of the original haunted houses here in the UK. They've had one in they had one in London. They had one in Spain. I'm sure they had one. Terror on Church Street in Orlando was a Passage del Terra maybe 30 years ago now. But I'd need to do more research to give you all the correct facts there. That's just me trying to remember from before I was born. So, the only one that was the only haunt that was able to reopen, sort of during this time of COVID was Passage del Terra and something called The Retreat, which, again, I don't want to sidebar too much, but talking about the creativity of people and giving us a scare in a different kind of way, we went to something that I don't think it's ever been done here in the UK. Literally, we went to a B&B, but it was a cabin in the woods in the absolute middle of nowhere. And
some of those have sprung up around here too. They're fantastic. They're so scary.
They're so good. And you'd watch a movie, and halfway through the movie you'd get interrupted, or you'll find a phone, and then the guy on the phone would tell you to go into the woods and find this and do this. And it was
Love it.
So, and you know what? Actors never got close to us. Like, they were a good 8 meters away, but they were still terrifying. It was so awesome.
That's almost even scarier because it's that looming threat. It's like the first 40 minutes of the movie The Strangers. The first 40 minutes is so scary. The guys, the person at the front door, the guys in the room behind her at the doorway, but she doesn't notice. Like that movie has so many of those far away, creepy, chilling, scary moments.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to like a haunt, an immersive experience that capitalizes on that idea, a cabin in the woods thing, or watching a movie get interrupted thing, or all the it works every time.
Big time.
It's so primal. It's so much fun. And sometimes when you experience something in an immersive experience that reminds you of something in one of those movies, it clicks and you're like, oh, you kind of get the similar fear that you had while watching the movie and excitement because you're like, oh my God, now I'm going to see how I would react in that situation.
Yes.
Because every time you watch one of those movies, you're like, I wonder what I would do.
Definitely. It's like you're, especially with the retreat, with what we did, it really was, because it was an overnight experience as well. It's like, it's not just a quick 10-minute scare maze or haunted house. It is like you are living a horror movie, and you have to make the decisions. You have moral dilemmas. You decide which way to go. You decide if you answer the phone, if you don't answer the phone. Like you say, it's sort of just, again, in a similar way to, obviously not in an extreme way, but in a similar sort of way, you're sort of testing yourself and seeing what you would do in these scenarios. It's that's why I love it. You know, immersive theater, scare, haunts. I think that's why it's so diverse, because no matter how many times you'll either go through one or experience an immersive production, it's always going to be different. It's always going to have a different sort of either a different scare, or you're going to react differently.
Oh, totally. You know, it's and people are always going to keep innovating. Yeah. They're always going to come up with new things. Some of the old gags that have worked since, you know, the 70s are still working now. And some of the stuff that they keep coming up with that are brand new, totally new visual things and trippy things and psychological things that they're doing to people. It's just exciting to see where it's going to go next.
Yeah.
You know, to see people that are trying to push the envelope, how much harder they're going to push it. People that are going to try to do the family-friendly ones, how are they going to open those up even more to make them even more fantastical and magical than they already are?
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know, it's always fun to see this art form, because it's constantly evolving.
Yes.
And it's really fun.
Definitely.
I mean, as technology gets better and better and smaller and cheaper, I mean, look at the fact that you can have mini projectors, a mini projector you can fit in your palm of your hand.
Mad.
And you can do depth mapping onto things to create wild illusions and on a budget. It doesn't even have to cost that much. That blows my mind when I think of that stuff. I mean, when I was a kid, a fog machine and a strobe light and a black light, and wow, you were way ahead of everybody else. That's special effects. And now it's like, well, I keep seeing these 12-foot-tall skeletons and animatronic Pennywise clowns holding kids dangling for help and screaming.
Yes.
Like, what?
It's insane.
It's always so funny to see people post that stuff, because you're like, people are buying that.
Yeah.
You know? And I know people who own those, and I'm like, I love it. I love that they're out there, that they're doing this. And now it's really exciting to see. And when all of this is over, I think there's going to be a huge, huge demand for more horror attractions. I think people are going to, when this is all over, I want to go to the UK and go experience all the different haunts I've kept hearing about.
Yeah.
I want to go. So there's so many I want to go check out and see and do, and you got to come out here. There's so much to
definitely,
see.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's it, isn't it? You know, it's, I think that's the one thing. I mean, there's many bad things from COVID, but one thing that is really getting everyone around the world down is just the restriction on being able to explore, because we go to Germany for a haunt every October, and three times my flights have been cancelled. I'm not getting out there this year. The amount of my friends who go to Halloween Horror Nights every year, and you know, I'm planning on going soon again. I went a few years ago. It's just the restriction that I think's really bugging people now, and that's what, you know, the restrictions are in the UK as well. Like, I can't go somewhere into someone else's house at the minute, you know.
No, I can't. None of us can't. We can't do it out here either. Yeah,
it's madness.
But the thing is, I think it's going to help, when this is all over, gain a real appreciation for in-person experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a much bigger appreciation for them. And I think when people are used to saying, oh, I'll do that next year, I'll put that off, people are going to shake that idea and go, you know what? If I can do it, I should do it. Because who knows what it'll be like next year. So I feel like when this is over, and who knows when that'll be, but when it is over, I feel like there's going to be such a overwhelming, just huge amount of creativity and
big time
creators, and from the people who want to be scared. I think they're going to be more willing to try new things also, and on both ends of the spectrum. I think it's going to be, you know, and it's going to be very cathartic. I definitely know it's going to be much needed for me to go and scream my head off a large group of people when it's safe to do that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. After all this, it's the interaction with other people, but then just the, I think people are missing the escapism. I think that's the main word, and not just with haunts, but I'm a big theme park geek. Even movies. I mean, I haven't gone to the cinema because hardly any new films have come out, because they're either been postponed or cancelled or whatnot. So, and you know, people go to the cinema, people go to haunts, people go to theme parks for escapism.
Yeah, no, we need it. We need a bit of that.
Definitely.
These days. But you know, hopefully the next great haunter is frustrated and annoyed they can't go anywhere right now, and they're sitting down and they're planning something out.
Yes.
And then for next time, or there's already people who are figuring out how to create either a film or an experience that we can enjoy right now during this time, that's totally inspired by this time. So, you know, you can't put creativity in lockdown.
No,
there's going to be all that's going to keep brewing, and people are going to come up with cool stuff. And look, even though I don't get to have my full massive Halloween season, it's still the Halloween season.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still putting up my decorations later today.
Nice.
I'm already just, you know, I'm excited. I'm getting pumpkin flavored everything.
Yes. Oh yeah. I've already gone through one of my Halloween candles. We get them every year, company here in the UK, Regions Beyond. They make like homemade candles. We've got Bonfire, Haunted Mansion, and Halloween. I only got them last week, and I'm already on number two.
It's the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, the Haunted Mansion one is awesome. It literally smells just like the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like the Disneyland Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, like Disney. Yeah, well, I've been to the Walt Disney World one, the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
It smells just like it, yeah. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but I'll send you the link, and
send me the link.
Yeah,
Have you heard about the I think it's called the Sounds of Halloween? It looks really, really fun. I know a bunch of people who worked on it. I think it's like the third one. Like every year, they put together this album of like really fun, all original Halloween music.
Oh, okay.
And they do a really good job. Hang on a second. Let me look it up right this second, because I hate when I forget something. And let's see here. Sean Keller. It's called The Revenge of the Killer Sounds of Halloween.
Nice.
And yeah, no, it's packed with all kinds of... they even have Tina from Nightmare on Elm Street does one of the tracks.
Oh, nice, nice.
They do really... out. I mean, it's great. I was listening to some of it earlier. I was having so much fun listening to it, and he's done on his other ones too. They're so much fun because the titles are great.
Yeah,
they already sound like something that's like a movie that should already exist.
Yeah,
and it's funny and they're creepy. It's, you know, I love that we could have more than just the Monster Mash. You know,
yes.
I like having like Like, you know the band Dead Man's Bones?
Yeah.
So I went after them to do music, to give me some of their music for Haunters.
Nice.
Because I love their music, and they gave it to me, and you hear it throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I also got some other geniuses. Jonathan Snipes, who did the soundtrack to Room 237 and The Nightmare, does incredible work. Alexander Burke, who worked on the Dead Man's Bones mm-hmm. project, also did some Dead Man's Bones inspired type songs that were great. Really, really Neil Baldock, really great, talented artist.
Yeah.
But Dead Man's Bones, it's Zach Shields, who co-wrote Krampus.
Right.
And and Ryan Gosling.
Oh, wow.
And the music is like Halloween music that is not guilty pleasure. It's really good.
Yeah,
like you describe it as it's the kind of music that the ghosts at the Haunted Mansion would listen to when they're on their own, when everyone's gone.
Yes.
This is what they listen
to. That's their kind of tunes. That's what they're listening to.
Totally. It's this beautiful, melancholy, creepy, super fun. You can still hear that on Spotify and other places. Dead Man's Bones. I love listening to Halloween type music during this time of year. It's just it's gets you in the mood. It's really creative. It's really fun.
Of course, yeah, love it. definitely. It's those things, isn't it? That the sort of, although we can't go to as many haunts as we'd go to this year, we can still do the all the other things. Like you say, you're going to decorate your house today. People can listen to the Halloween music. You can carve pumpkins. You can get your candles. And, you know, every Halloween, me and the wife are watching whatever we can, whether it's scary movies, whether it's even some of our, it's a bit self-indulgent, but some of our old vlogs, or we listen to old podcasts just to reminisce in the fun times we have had. And of course, watching the, you know, Haunters Art of the Scare as well. You know, that's a Halloween tradition.
I love that. I watch my bonus features because the bonus features, it's just fun to watch all the different, see all the different haunts again, especially now that I can't go to any of those.
Cool.
It's fun to, you know, to look at the movie, but it's a lot of fun to look at those bonus features too, and to kind of wander around those haunts. It's, it's really, I'm so glad that I filmed it, because what if I had started now?
Well, yeah. Good point. It'd be a very different movie.
Totally. It wouldn't have been one.
Yeah.
So no, it's I know there's a lot we can all do to keep Halloween alive in a really fun and spooky and creative way. And I think I'm going to be reading some of my favorite scary stories to some of my friends over Zoom, and we're all going to do different things that we can to keep it spooky and keep it fun.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone at home as well listening to this, make sure you keep Halloween alive by making it spooky and fun as well. I think that's the perfect sort of a way to end this, really, on a positive note of letting everyone know that even though COVID has been a bit of a dick recently, that we can all make although scare mazes and haunts might not be all open this year, Halloween will always be here, and we can all celebrate it in our own ways.
There you go.
Definitely.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. It was also, I really appreciate you coming on, John. Honestly, it really does mean a lot. I'm a huge fan of Haunters, and I know near enough all of our listeners love it as well. I've had many a conversation about it, whether it be talking about how batshit crazy Russell is, or Russ McCamey, or just honestly, because we here in the UK, we're quite, although we're small, we've got lots of different attractions we can go to, but we can go to most of them, you know, because it's you can get from one end of the country to the other within 6 hours, you know, whereas obviously in the States, it's difficult for us to either choose where we're going to go, whether we're going to go to Halloween Horror Nights, whether we're going to go to a different state to check out a few local haunts or home haunts. But, you know, your documentary, it just gives us kind of an injection of knowledge of what's out there and what kind of different stuff is out there as well. So I just want to say thank you for making it and you know, letting the whole world know what kind of stuff you guys have over there in the States, because we're not lucky enough to experience it over here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for watching it so much and for sharing it with all your friends and fans. I really appreciate it. It's my first feature film I've ever made, and I'm really proud of it, but I just love hearing from people all over the world that reach out about it. It's really makes me feel incredible. You know, it's a real real treat. Thank you so much. You really really made my day. I really appreciate it.
Oh no,
thank you.
No, definitely awesome. Well, we'll end it there then. A huge thank you to John for coming on to the show. And John, stay safe and happy Halloween, buddy.
You got it. Happy Halloween. Take care.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared!
So there we go, folks. A huge thank you to John for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. Been wanting to get him on for quite a while now. I'm such a huge fan of Haunters, The Art of the Scare, ever since it came out and it was available to watch here in the UK. It's available all around the world now, guys, so there's no excuse. Find it, watch it, and really do enjoy it. You'll have a fantastic time watching this amazing documentary. Almost brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast, but it's October 1st, and that means we can now most definitely start celebrating Halloween in style. A very different Halloween to any other year. We've already discussed that on previous episodes and with John as well, but we have got a handful of attractions that we're going to be visiting and bringing you a Scaretrack review podcast along with our mini Scarecam episodes on our YouTube channel as well. So make sure you keep up to date. Wherever you're listening to this podcast now, make sure you press that subscribe button, or you can get it direct to our website, scaretrack.co.uk. For our mini Scarecam vlogs, go over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. And like I say, on our website, you can get everything from podcasts to Scarecams to our coaster track stuff, but also our merchandise store is on there as well. And you can support the show by grabbing yourself either a t-shirt, a hat, a hoodie. We even do face masks as well now, guys. But yeah, we've got lots planned, not as much as we'd normally like to, but we are going to the likes of Scare Kingdom, Spooky World, Orton Towers, Thorpe Park, we've got Extreme Scream Park, Festival drive-through experience. So we've got a handful of things and a handful of episodes to be able to bring you this Halloween season. So that's the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Happy Halloween.